It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this time of year, there are lots of changes. Many of them are so obvious, even the most oblivious can't avoid seeing them. And I'm speaking of some of those starkly red maple trees, woodbine vines, sumac. Oh, I saw some sumac yesterday that was just absolutely knock you over red. And so there are a lot of things going on. Those are just a few of them. The maples, as I mentioned, looking quite red. There are some yellows out there as the black ash. Probably are approaching their peak of color. I would expect the black ash probably to peak in terms of their color this week, though there are some that have not yet gotten there. And that's okay. They can go at their own rate. Nobody's forcing them to do anything. They have to do it on their own. So, watch the ash to be turning yellow. And ash, particularly in this part of the state, tend to grow in wet areas. So if you're down in the swampy edges, or if you're in what my dad used to call an ash swale, then you are likely to be in the presence of ash trees, and you look for those multiple leafleted leaves, and they are going to be turning yellow. Many of them have already turned yellow, and others will join them. Among the, since we've kind of moved to the yellow side, the basswoods are coloring as well, and I haven't seen a basswood full color yet, but I've seen basswoods that have a lot of yellow on them. And the interesting thing that is true of the basswoods is that, pardon me, as their leaves yellow, they fall off the tree. And so oftentimes they never really do achieve like a full bright yellow basswood tree, because some leaves turn yellow and fall off, and then others are in the process of turning yellow. They might still be green, they might be slightly yellow, and then they turn yellow and fall off. Another plant that does something very similar are the birches. And you may look at a birch in your yard and see that it is absolutely green in every leaf and bud, and then you'll notice that there are a few here and there, maybe a scattering of yellow leaves within the tree, and then those leaves fall off the tree, and the tree continues to look mostly green, and then gets a little more yellow, and at some point, probably, 2 or 3 weeks out, so near the end of this month, the birches will be quite yellow in their entirety, and then the leaves will just cut loose and fall off, and it'll be fall for the birches, and then the color shifts. You know, birches are amazing because they look, everybody says, oh, you can always tell the birches because of the white bark, but oftentimes people mistake the aspens, the trembling aspens, for birches, because their bark can look pretty white and smooth the way a birch can. But the birches in the fall are going to be, as I mentioned, sort of green and then yellowing here and there, and then suddenly all yellow and then bare. And when they become bare and you start looking at them, say if you are looking across a lake or a river or something like that where you can kind of see the landscape, you'll notice that the birches are going to start looking red. And as we move into spring, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but as we move into spring, the predominant color for birches, especially when seen from a distance, is red, because all of the new branches, all of the branches and new branches on birches are red. And speaking of that same red color, if you look at the birches, especially the young ones, you'll see that up until the time they're about, maybe 2 inches in diameter, they're red, or in some cases pink, as the bark begins to turn from red to white. But they start off red. When they're small, they're red, and all of the branches on the big trees are red. And so keep an eye on the birch. They offer a lot of entertainment for color throughout the spring, summer, fall, and winter. So enjoy the birches. They're wonderful trees to have in your yard. Other things going on, the round-leaf dogwoods are starting to turn. They are becoming quite burgundy in color, and these are the ones that have the little red clusters of, the cyme, the structure that holds up the berries. The berries are kind of sky blue, but the structure holding them up is red. And so you take those sky blue berries and that red structure and then put this deep, deep burgundy color. And really, they become quite remarkably beautiful this time of year. That's the round-leaved dogwoods. And the downy arrowwood is also going to turn quite burgundy in the next few weeks. But the downy arrowwoods last quite a while into the fall. They'll be holding their color well into the first part of October. Every year about this time, I start to wonder what has happened to the robins, because the robins are usually all over your yard. They're picking up angleworms in your yard and catching bugs and whatnot, and they're just thick. And then along comes sort of the middle of August, and they disappear, and they're not there anymore. And I wondered if what happened was the local groups migrate south and the northern groups haven't migrated in yet. That was my supposition. Well, I sent an email off to our good friend Laura Erickson, and Laura clued me in. She said that what happens in mid-August and through the early part of fall is that the robins gather in these big flocks, and she said sometimes the bigger the better. And then they fly around and they're looking for fruit trees. And when they find the fruit trees, they descend on them and they'll stay there and they'll eat like pigs until the fruits are exhausted. And then they'll all get up and move to the next location. So my not seeing robins is just the fact that they haven't congregated near me. But I did see one the other day very early in the morning, and Laura also mentioned that. She said occasionally you'll see one on your lawn really early in the morning, even just before sunup, and then they disappear and join a flock somewhere, and they spend the days pigging out on fruit. So maybe you're the one who has that big flock of robins in your yard. For me, it's almost as though the robins were gone, but I know that I will be seeing more robins come October. Speaking of gone, it's taken me a while to determine, but the last male hummingbird that I saw at my feeder was on the 22nd of August. And when I left town on the morning of the 23rd, I was in the cities through the 25th. When I came back on the 26th, I did not see any male hummingbirds, and I haven't seen any since. And this past week, about Friday, my hummingbird feeder was down to the last dregs, and I went out and filled up both my hummingbird feeders, and I haven't had a hummingbird since last Friday. And so they are moving out of the area, but that doesn't mean I'm going to take my hummingbird feeder down. I'm going to leave it up, because somewhere there's another hummingbird coming. In fact, yesterday when I was visiting the sixth graders, Brenda Olson's sixth grade class at Ely, we were out early in the morning kind of looking at trees in the schoolyard to identify them, and there was a hummingbird hanging out around their flower garden. So there are still hummingbirds in the area, not as many as there were, but there are still some around, and they are gradually moving south. So leave your feeders out for a while. My latest date for hummingbirds is October 8th, and that was after about a three-week period of no hummingbirds. Suddenly, here comes this last hummingbird. It's like, oh, is it winter? Should I be moving south? And she was grateful for a drink at my feeder. And one more thing about hummingbirds. Laura Erickson recommends this time of year that you up the sugar to about a 3-to-1 ratio from the normal 4-to-1 ratio. It gives the hummingbirds just that much more fat that they are going to need for their migration south. So if you want to help out the hummingbirds and you want to, like this time of year, you know, a couple of inches of water or sugar water in your hummingbird feeder is probably going to be more than enough because you're not going to have the crowd there that you had in late August. But if you leave them out some sugar water and you make it a little bit stronger, it'll help them on their way south. So keep that in mind as you get ready for fall. Common loons are gathering and getting ready to head south. I have a pair on my lake, and as has been pointed out on the KAXE KBXE Season Watch page, they have molted and are in their fall plumage. So those people down in the southern United States and off the coast of Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama, and Louisiana, they are not going to see the same loon that we see here all summer long. And those loons are soon to be leaving the area. Their trip takes them to Lake Michigan for the most part, and then a two-day trip to the Gulf. And then once they're on the Gulf, they'll spend the winter floating around in the salt water and waiting for spring to return to northern Minnesota. I heard a few bald eagles. I saw a bald eagle and heard it by the nest this past week. They were unsuccessful in our nest this year. And so we have been just kind of keeping an eye on them, trying to hope that they'll hang around and maybe be back next year. They don't usually abandon the nest. They maybe just don't have a good opportunity to get the thing running the way they'd like to and get a baby out of it. But they'll be back next year. I'm confident of it. Pair of trumpeter swans on the lake, as well as a pair of loons. That was kind of an interesting day to see both of them. Northern harriers, Marvin, my neighbor Marvin, reported northern harriers out on the field, and he said there was a pair, a male and a female, and at some point one of them attacked and killed something on the ground, and he wasn't able to see from his observation spot what it was that they had, but he said they spent quite a while on the ground eating. And I suspect that it was, I don't know, maybe something large like a gopher or maybe a small rabbit, something like that. But at any rate, the harriers were eating good that day. He also mentioned, Marvin also told me about the sandhill cranes and their young colt out on the field. So they were able to reproduce this year and have their young baby out on the field. And they're kind of nursing their way through and getting ready to head south. He also saw a black bear yesterday. He said he put out some suet for the woodpeckers, and the black bear thought that was for him, and so he came and ate the suet and then moved on. So the suet will have to wait until the black bear takes a nap, and once he goes to sleep, boy, we'll probably see the suet come back out for the woodpeckers. The Jerusalem artichokes, these are a sunflower-like plant, but much taller, and the ones that grow at my house are a very dark green, much darker than the regular sunflowers. The Jerusalem artichokes have opposite leaves, which is unusual. Most sunflowers have alternate leaves, and some sunflowers will start off opposite, but as you march your way up the stem looking at the arrangement of the leaves, they'll become more alternate as they grow. And so the Jerusalem artichoke is opposite all the way up, and the leaves of the Jerusalem artichoke can be as much as 8 inches long and 4 to 5 inches wide. So these are big plants. Mine are 9 feet tall easily. The only way I can see the flowers is to grab hold of them and pull them over and look. lots of things going on in the woods. The spreading dogbane is pretty much yellow. The wild sarsaparilla is yellow in places, and it has been for almost a month. It starts early. Some of the plants get yellow and kind of red or purple early in the season, but gosh, yesterday walking around in a stand of white spruce and birch, why, there were lots of sarsaparilla on the ground that were doing just fine and were looking green as could be. So, and the same thing is true of ferns. There are a lot of ferns that are turning brown right now. But there are also a lot of ferns that haven't begun to turn yet. The brackens especially, I was seeing probably 50% of the bracken ferns are brown, but the other half look pretty green yet. Purple-stemmed asters are at probably their last peak of flowers, as well as the flat-topped asters. The flat-topped asters are those big clusters of white flowers that you're seeing in the ditches that are flat-topped. So imagine a plate kind of turned over upside down and a cluster of flowers about that size with roughly that shape, sort of a like a contact lens kind of a shape. And those are the flat-topped asters, and they are probably at their last peak of flowers as well. And I saw a lot of them yesterday as I was driving around the countryside. So check those out. Jewelweed, spotted touch-me-not, is at the end of its flowering in my yard, and I have, well, just a last flower or two here and there, but the seed pods are sitting there swollen and ready to burst, so I'll go out there and bump into some of them and help spread some of those seeds around. Three other notes to cover, and then we're done. Rose-breasted grosbeaks. I haven't seen an adult male or an adult female at my feeder in quite some time, but I have lots of juveniles that are coming in and feeding pretty heavily at the feeder. Pileated woodpeckers are bringing their juveniles out. I saw some notes on the Season Watch page, KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page, had pictures of pileated woodpeckers, and my wife Denise saw a pileated woodpecker juvenile walking around our yard. And when was it? Sunday. I had a final deer fly. I hadn't seen or felt or been bothered by a deer fly in probably 2 weeks. And Sunday, I was out and out in the woods, and I wasn't wearing a hat. And all of a sudden, I heard this deer fly buzzing around me. And the next thing you know, she got up in my hair, what I have left, and got tangled up in there. And I swatted her, and I saw her spiral down to the ground as a dying or dead deer fly. And I hope that's the last one of the year, because I've had enough deer flies for this year. I'll be ready to welcome them back next June, but in the meantime, I won't miss them. And if you're missing me already, why, I'll be back next week. This is the Phenology Show, and you're tuned to KAXE, KBXE.